following takes place between 6 p.m. and 7 p.m.
Hello, and welcome to Tech Access Weekly, a podcast of unspecified length concerning news and events in accessible technology. This is episode 94 for Wednesday, May 18th, 2011. Bible Thumpers! Okay, so we don't have that much listener mail we want to get started with.
But we don't have that many interesting, really tremendous articles.
Stories either.
It was kind of a slow week, seeing as how Google I.O. kind of manipulated everything.
Yeah.
Last week.
And we have a couple of things, and we'll get to that. And a quirky video to play for you, and we'll get to that. But we would like to. I'd like to thank Marvin Hunkin in particular for commenting so favorably on our tap-in radio tip that we did the other day. Thank you for that. I hope you enjoy the program.
He commented that it was very simple to use.
Yes.
And he was amazed by that.
Yes.
Which is a good thing, because a lot of times things can be overcomplicated.
Yeah, it is pretty simple. One of the drawbacks is I don't know how regularly they update their listings, because some of the URLs I have found are broken and need to be fixed.
Well, that's always going to happen.
It's always going to happen. So, you know, whatever.
You know,
I'm
but
not
I
too worried about it.
I thought it was really interesting that you were actually able to find local airport
air Oh, that was control. Cool. That was cool. You could hear takeoffs and departures, and it's happening just right down the road from us.
Yeah, exactly.
All the time. So, okay. Should we start with our regular security?
Why, yes. Why don't we? Last week, we spoke to you a little bit about the malware for Mac called Mac Defender. Well, evidently, it is starting to spread more and more. If you listen to any technology tech shows or things, you're finding that people are calling in about these all the time.
To AppleCare.
To AppleCare or to actual people, you know, like Leo Laporte, tech guy show, that kind of thing, saying that I got this virus, what do I do? So people are trying to figure out how to get it off of their system. Well, evidently, according to Ed Bott of ZDNet, you don't call Apple because they can't help you. I guess they're wanting to keep away from setting the precedent that if you call AppleCare, they will help you with all of your tech support needs, such as removing malware.
I mean, I understand this because you have to, in order to remove it, you can't use their software in order to do it because they don't have antivirus stuff built into their products like Windows 7 does, and you'd have to be using a non-Apple product. And, I mean, in most industry situations, you can't help people use products that aren't yours.
Well, yeah. I mean, I guess people are thinking that Apple is the customer service gods that they are. And I guess their approval rating will probably be diminished a little bit.
Maybe.
Because they really haven't said, here, use this particular malware removal tool or antivirus or anything like that.
I don't know if there's any really good malware tools for the Mac.
I do know that ESET.com, which makes Nod 32, has a version for the Mac.
Oh.
So you can go and actually get a free scan at their website, and you can even purchase their software, which I believe is like, it's either $35 or $40 a year, something like that. So it's pretty inexpensive to get. Plus, there's probably going to end up being a free one at some point, but probably nothing like Microsoft Security Essentials that you can download for free from Microsoft to go along with your Windows 7, because it's not built in.
No.
Because that would probably cause the EU to cause some sort of an antitrust lawsuit like they did over Internet Explorer.
Yes.
But anyway, Ed Bott has a great article over at ZDNet. I will include it in the post for this so that you can kind of read the comments of a customer support representative kind of talking candidly about the whole situation, saying that, well, that's what antiviruses are for, to protect you against malware. And it's kind of a shame because a lot of people purchased Macs because they thought it was more secure, couldn't get affected by things like that. So you're probably going to have a lot of these Mac people getting infected because they just click everything.
Right.
So I don't know.
Interesting. Well, more
interesting
malware
news
is being put onto Facebook as we speak.
Why, yes, it is.
Surprise, surprise.
There is a Facebook spam prevention scam going on. Go figure.
Yes.
Apparently, people are receiving messages that are saying that they can avoid spam by inputting and verifying their accounts. Well, basically, it takes your information, starts posting on your walls, and spreads it to all of your friends.
Kinda so, like, you don't want to do that.
Yeah, kind of like the previous issues that we have seen. Facebook is actually working on new additions to security features for users.
Yes.
They are actually going to try and warn you of malicious messages using, what was the database of malicious things?
Oh, it's something like WebTrust.
Yeah.
It's a database that contains malware, you know, web malware kinds of things. So they're going to partner with them to use their, I guess you would call it like definitions, use their database of information. And they're also going to let users turn on a feature where they can identify unfamiliar devices by inputting some codes, like Facebook will send you a text message on your cell phone.
Yeah, it's two-factor authentication.
Yeah.
Where you register your mobile phone and then they will send you a text message that you enter on the site in order to say that, yes, this is me. So if you are actually trying to post a message on Facebook and Facebook thinks that it is malware or spam or a scam even, they will send you a text message and pop up a box saying, please enter the code that we just sent you.
And also if, you know, and this is what I was saying, the partnership comes in, is that if you're trying to enter a site that Facebook or click on something that Facebook thinks is spam, it will tell you, are you sure you want to click this? Because this may be malware.
Exactly.
So that's another thing that they're also entering into as well.
So it kind of goes in a circle there, but it's like multiple things that they're trying to do. So they're actually trying to strengthen security instead of making it greatly confusing. Although probably setting these features is probably about 17 or 18 screens down in the privacy settings.
Yeah, and I think I've set one and I can't get it to stop.
That's not good.
No, I need to find it. I don't know how I did it. But anyway, on to another probably security-related item.
Well, yes, the PlayStation Network finally came back online.
Yay!
Sony finally got that back up this past Sunday.
But
they are having issues with their webpage for users to reset their passwords. Apparently, you can reset your PlayStation 3 password by going on the actual device itself, or you can go to a Sony website. Well, apparently, the Sony website had some flaws in the coding that caused security holes, and they had to bring it down. There is no reports of actual passwords being taken, but they really do encourage you to use the actual PlayStation itself to change your password. Apparently, it has been fixed. The coding issues have been fixed, but who really knows?
Take care.
And it's kind of a funny thing, too, because people are saying that PlayStations are going up on Craigslist and in yard sales and things because people are getting rid of them.
Oh, wow. Wow, wow. Well, you know, the funny thing is people think the cloud is so awesome, and yet the hackers used an Amazon cloud server to hack the PlayStation Sony network.
Yeah, they actually used part of the EC2 servers that actually crashed by Amazon to hack into the PlayStation network.
Just wrench you some space and there you go.
Yeah, there's not really a lot of information coming out about that.
No.
Other than
we don't know who they were. I mean, they're not releasing any names or anything.
Yeah, but like we had mentioned last week, anonymous rogue anonymous agents appear to be the culprits.
Yes.
Or rumored to be the
rumored
culprits.
To be the culprits.
We do not want to allege that they are the criminals yet.
Moving on to another cloud implemented thing, Dropbox. People are using it a lot to port files in between the cloud, in the cloud, between devices, and are being warned that it is not as tremendously secure as you might want. It is true that people can only, fellow Dropbox users can only find your files if they are sent a link to the file. But that doesn't say anything about employees or other people who may be on those servers for any other reasons.
Yeah, this kind of
files are stored on.
This kind of came to light last month, about 3 weeks ago, when Dropbox changed their notice saying that if the government actually asked for user information, that they will actually provide it to the government officials.
Right.
And now Dropbox is saying that they have a link or message on their page saying that they cannot guarantee that all of your user data is safe and secure. So people are kind of trying to read between the lines.
Right.
I mean, you have employees that can probably get to this data or something.
I mean, it's not encrypted.
It's on their servers.
It's there. You know,
I was thinking it might have been a little bit secure, you know, as far as encryption and things, but maybe not.
I guess not. I mean, I suppose you could encrypt your upload with TrueCrypt, but then if you want to get to something on the fly, you can't do that. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
you'd have to decrypt it every time.
Wherever you were at.
So,
which is a good thing, because paranoid people probably would be doing that. But, I mean, anybody that's using a cloud service like Dropbox, I mean, you kind of have to assume the risk of your information might not be 100% safe.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no guarantee. In an event that happened last week, I don't believe we mentioned it about LastPass last week having issues with their login information, because I believe that happened the day after our podcast was recorded. LastPass informed users that they needed to reset their passwords. If you do not know, LastPass is a password repository. You can log into websites, create generic or secure passwords and store them there. And you only have to remember one secure password, sort of a master password. And they basically were telling people last week that they needed to change their master passwords because they were thinking that they were hacked because a large amount of encrypted data was going out. Because of the way they hash the data and encrypt the keys and everything, they couldn't see what the actual data was that was leaving. They just knew that it was a heck of a large chunk. Well, yesterday they actually announced that they were mistaken. They were not hacked. It was just a lot of information going across the system at one time. And to be precautionary, they alerted all of the users, which is about 7 million or
something
more.
Like that, yeah. Okay.
So that's just something in case you know people that are using it or worried about using a password manager, that LastPass is pretty secure.
So back to the security news. It seems like Android phones are leaking stuff. Most of them anyway.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Facebook flaw that we were talking about last week, where the tokens for applications were being passed in the clear and not expiring like they should have been. Well, now we are finding out that Android phones using something older than the latest Gingerbread version, I guess it's Froyo, which is like 2.2, I believe, is actually passing back the tokens for applications or servers in the clear. So if you go to a coffee shop or bookstore or something like that, and you actually log into a system, your information goes in securely, but when it comes back out to your phone, it is insecure. So someone could actually sniff it and take control of it based on things like FireSheep.
Yeah, FireSheep.
That we had talked about. That was a Firefox extension issue a couple months ago. So it sounds like Google is going to be able to actually fix this issue on the server side so that Android users do not really have to do anything. There may be a security update that will be pushed out immediately as soon as they have something to actually fix or assist with the problem.
And just so we're clear, that this does not apply to, you know, people who may have bought Android devices within the past, oh, I don't know, few months.
Well, it's hard to say.
It depends on what they run.
Well, it's hard to say, because this is the problem with Android, is the fact that there's fragmentation as far as what version you're using. I mean, there's phones that are coming out today that are still coming with Froyo. They're not coming with the latest version of Android. So it's kind of like, if you're not a person that is really into it, you probably don't know that you're using an outdated version of Android. So it's one of those things where the carriers aren't pushing it out
right
as fast as the updates are available. So one of the drawbacks, and thus people are saying that Apple is more secure. Apple is more secure.
Well, no, they're just more controlled.
Yeah. And so they have that wonderful thing called iTunes that will actually push things out.
Yeah.
And they were fortunate enough that Steve Jobs was able to actually get that little loophole in there that, hey, we're going to push out updates to the phone ourselves. We're not going to actually push it out over the cell networks.
Ooh, yuck.
Yeah, so they kind of bypassed the Samsungs and LGs and HTC companies and everything, as well as the Verizons and AT&Ts.
Anyway.
I digress. But
yes, well, apparently Windows is coming out with a new version in 2012.
Why, yes, Windows 8. Everyone keeps asking, what is the deal with Windows 8? What are we going to hear about Windows 8? What are they going to do for accessibility? What are they going to do for this and that? Well, nobody really tremendously knows, or if they do, they're under an NDA and can't really say anything. But at Intel's investor meeting, a representative, Renee James, mentioned that Windows 8 is going to be designed for ARM processors, which are like what are used in your cell phones and possibly even future MacBooks and such. Well, Microsoft is probably going to be making two different versions, a traditional version and a new version. So if you have old software or old technology like 32-bit or 64-bit, you will probably have to buy the traditional Windows 8. And if you are running an ARM processor, you're going to have all new software.
Oh, man.
So that means that all of you folks still out there running JAWS version 5, you won't be able to purchase a new computer.
Nope.
Not that there's probably a lot of people, but
no,
we have heard of people using version 6.
Yeah. And yeah. Scarily enough.
So, yeah, it's gonna be kind of a divide, kind of like Apple had to do when they moved to Intel processors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you sort of have a cut there, like in 2004, 2005, I think it was. They came out with Intel machines, and thus a lot of the old software didn't work, and you just have to move forward from that. So, more to come on that probably in the future week.
Yes, and apparently, I mean, they don't have any betas out yet, so we really can't tell, or, you know, nothing's available for testing.
Yeah.
But this is as close to the rumor mill as we dare to go here.
Yeah, and you also have to wonder, does the person at Intel actually know what they're talking about?
Well, that too.
You never know.
That too. Moving on a little bit to more of a legal issue, but it's something that's been going on for how many years now? Like
two or three? Two, something like that.
Anyway, LimeWire, the file sharing service that was kind of in hot water with the RIAA and other sundry.
And is closed down.
Yes, and is closed down. Settled for a whopping $105 million.
Granted, this is less than the $750 trillion that the RIAA was looking for.
Yeah, quite a bit less. Quite a bit less. So just to point that out, LimeWire is no more. They are, I guess, paying their money, coughing it up, and going by the wayside for good.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. I think they got off cheaper than Jamie Thomas did on her lawsuit.
That was like $200 million or something like that,
yeah,
it was
something
it?
Ridiculous. So, yeah. I mean, what gives? They created a piece of software to share all this various software and music files and things, and she only downloaded like 23 songs. Or shared 23 songs or something like that. And she had like maybe it wasn't $100 million. I think that case went for like 3 or 4 years and it kept getting different values.
Right.
All the way from $1 million to 200 and some million. So
right.
I don't even remember what it ended at because I was just.
Wasn't it 20 million?
Might have been.
I think it was more like 20 million.
Might have been.
Anyway.
We digress.
Even more. More music related, but this is a good music related story.
Really? Good.
Yes, good. The Library of Congress here in the U.S., which is like the government's main library of libraries.
The authority in libraries.
Yes, has begun a service called Online Jukebox. And the Victor Recording Company from 1901 to 1925 was responsible for making a large number of the music recordings in the world at that time.
They made the Victrola.
Yes.
Oh, cool.
I believe so. Well, no. I don't think they made the Victrola, but they but the Victrola played recordings that they made on their specific cylinders.
Ah, yes.
So that, I think that's the deal. Anyway, they have all these recordings, and the Library of Congress got into a project a few years ago to digitize them. So they have digitized at least, what was it, between 10 and 20,000 different recordings now. And they have put them up on a site called their National Jukebox, and you can go and stream them freely. Sony Entertainment owns, speaking of PlayStation, owns the rights to these,
don't give them your password,
these Victor recordings, and has granted the National Library, the Library of Congress, excuse me, the ability to stream them for free. So you can go in there, you can listen to them, you can create your own playlists even. It's a really cool thing, and I only explored it for about 5 minutes before this podcast, so I can't give you a huge amount of information on it at this point, but I'm planning to make it into a daily tip.
Why, yes.
It's not only music, but I think they have speeches and comedy and all kinds of things, and they're still adding to the collection.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Impressive.
Absolutely. Another thing that's impressive is, and in completely different direction, a team of researchers and students is working on developing a robotic wheelchair that can be used by a totally blind individual to navigate. So a totally blind individual who also needs a wheelchair can use this thing. And I guess it has cameras that take 3D images of the area around you and interacts with you to help you navigate and gives you some feedback. I'm not sure exactly how the feedback works, to tell you, based on the 3D pictures that it snaps, what's around you and the type of obstacles you have to go around.
Yeah, it must be using some kind of LiDAR technology, kind of like the Google cars,
you know,
where it's doing the imaging.
Must
and
be.
Things.
I'm not sure how the information is communicated to you. I think it's by vibrations, like on the arms of the chair, but I can't be 100%. Positive about how exactly it works.
Hopefully it's better than the Blind Driver Challenge where you had to dress up like a stormtrooper in order to actually drive the car.
Yeah, I hope so. They've been testing it, driving it around college campuses and things, and it seems to work, but I don't know that there is a price point or anything. I think they're still in the prototype stage.
Yeah. And speaking of the Google car, they did say last week that the Google Corporation is trying to get it legalized in Nevada. So that they can actually have cars sold there and operated there.
Wow, that's cool.
So that's kind of cool. I guess they're thinking that Nevada has a lot of wide open spaces and there wouldn't be as many turns and congestion to deal with.
That's true.
Just something crazy to
think about. One other crazy thing. And this is where our video comes in.
Ah, yes.
A teenager posted on Facebook after Osama bin Laden was killed that Obama should be careful. He may get more suicide bomber threats as a result of this.
Yeah, it kind of proves the fact that you can't take what you read as fact. You kind of have to try and parse it and sort of think about it because, I mean, shoot, a lot of people, even news agencies, keep confusing Obama and Osama with the
each
names.
Other. The names, because they're so similar.
I mean, there's been numerous news reports of people saying that, well, when Obama was killed...
Osama was killed.
Yeah. I mean, Fox News has even went as far as doing it as Usama, using the USAMA instead of the OSAMA.
Uh-huh.
So that they didn't have any confusion. But anyway, we will play this video from Tacoma, Washington.
Good evening, I'm David Rose.
And I'm Maria Arcega-Dunn. A Tacoma boy's mother says the Secret Service grabbed him out of class last Friday for what he posted on his Facebook page.
She was so outraged it happened without her knowledge or permission, she contacted us. Dana Revick has more on this exclusive story.
They're very shocked.
It's the kind of call no mother wants to get.
My phone rings, I look at it, and it was the number to his school. And I answer it, and it's the school security guard just giving me a FYI, you know, for your information, just to give you a heads up. The Secret Service is here with the Tacoma Police Department, and they have Vito, and they're talking to him.
It turns out after Osama bin Laden was killed, Vito LaPinta posted an update to his Facebook status that got the feds' attention.
I was saying how Osama is dead and for Obama to be careful because there might be suicide bombers.
A week later, while Vito was in his fourth period class, he got called to the principal's office.
A man walked in a suit and glasses. And he said that he was part of the Secret Service, and he told me it was because of a post that I made, and it indicated as a threat towards the president.
Tacoma Schools did acknowledge that a Secret Service agent questioned Vito, but after that, the story becomes very different. They say a security guard called Vito's mom because the principal was on the other line, and that they didn't wait for her to arrive because they felt that she didn't take the phone call seriously.
That's a blatant lie.
Timmy Robertson says she rushed to Truman Middle School immediately and arrived to discover her boy had already been questioned for half an hour.
I just about lost it. You know, my son, my 13-year-old son, who is a minor, who's supposed to be safe and secure in his classroom at school, is being interrogated without my knowledge or consent privately by the Secret Service.
I was very scared.
The seventh grader says once his mom showed up, the agent finished the interview and told him he wasn't in any trouble. Now he's more careful about what he posts online. But Timmy says the school and the Secret Service are the ones who need to watch themselves.
For me, it's not about what my son did or didn't do. It's the way they handled it because he's still a child.
In Tacoma, Dana Rebick, Q13, Fox News.
We also reached out to the Secret Service agent for comment today, but we have not heard back yet.
Gee, big surprise there.
Yeah, go figure.
It almost makes you want to hear
What were you thinking?
Yeah, that fits so well with that one.
Yeah, I almost gave us three What Were You Thinking stories.
Yeah, almost.
Instead of two.
Almost. But, I mean, that's just ridiculous. I can see a legal lawsuit coming over that.
Oh, my. Oh, my.
Plus, yep. It should also bring up the fact that things you post may be watched by the government.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they may be tracking things. I mean, I don't know mention as to whether his privacy settings were set up so that his posts and things were private or not. So,
oh, nothing is private from the government, sweetness.
Well, yeah, but, you know, I mean, it's not known as to whether his stuff was wide open public, you know,
well,
because he didn't know better to do that.
That's true.
A lot of people have been starting to question, you know, what do I need to do? And a lot of people actually still think that Facebook is private. And then you go search and you can actually find their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So
anyway,
on to
other Facebook news. This is in the What Were You Thinking category. A 17-year-old kid, a totally different kid, has been arrested.
Well, yeah, that one was 14.
Yeah, that was, you know, he was 13.
13, yes. Mm-hmm.
A 17-year-old kid was arrested for ranking 50 girls in his high school on Facebook. He ranked them according to face, body, supposed sexual behavior, and other less savory things. And apparently, he printed out, I didn't get it, flyers on Facebook that he passed around to his fellow Facebook friends, you know, listing them according to rank and who was best. And he was, like, talking about this at school as well, how he would rank these girls on his Facebook page. And he gave speeches at school and kept saying that women are the future.
Unless we stop them now.
How exactly he was planning to stop them is a little bit of a mystery.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those, what did they call themselves?
The Jonestown people?
Well, it's kind of like he was trying to start a cult or something, but, you know, like the, there was a group of kids that kind of did something similar to this or... No, it was the Columbine kids. They called themselves the Trench Coat Mafia or something.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And, I mean, there's been stories of people ranking people based on stuff like that. So, I mean, probably not really uncommon, but
no.
Probably speaking about it in public places and trying to create a cult situation there.
Yeah.
Or at least we assume anyway.
We assume.
That's...
Yeah, and I mean, you know, it wasn't like he was keeping their names a secret. I mean, I think everyone pretty much knew who they were based on, you know, based on all this. So,
and it's not really a high school thing either. I mean, there was a story about a girl at Duke University back in the fall that was actually rating people on their sexual interactions.
Ew.
And she wrote her master's thesis based on it or something.
Ew.
Like a psychology something or another. I don't remember what it was exactly, but it made all the news rounds, the Today Show and all that kind of thing.
Anyway, that was one of the stories for What Were You Thinking? The other one, I mean, okay. We're all going to die. You know, I've been hearing that the world's going to end in 2012 because, well, that's when the Mayan calendar ends. What is
it? Well, there was a movie.
December 5th, 2012?
Yeah, there was a movie, though. It's got to be true. Yeah, 2012.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And
hey, I saw Jericho on CBS.
World I saw Jericho,
ended,
too.
You know, world, explosions. And
yeah, but it almost ended. It didn't mean it was going to end, and people weren't planning for it to end.
Dissolved the government.
It was a nuclear bomb attack.
I miss that show.
I actually do, too. I kind of liked it.
Anyway, we digress.
The world is going to end sooner than that, apparently. It's going to end on October 12th of 2011. So says a bunch of Bible
thumpers,
for lack of a better word.
My terminology.
Yeah. So they say that on Saturday, the rapture will begin and deserving people will be just taken up to heaven. And then on October 12th, 2011, fire will descend from heaven in a big whoosh and wipe out everything. Now, I don't understand quite where it's coming from, where they're coming from. We have a link in our show notes to a story that talks about this, but it's them talking, and it's the most screwed up nonsense. Well, not the most screwed up I've ever read, but a lot screwed up.
Well, hey, I like
very
the way they,
illogical. And
I like the way they keep saying that because it's in the Bible,
oh,
it's fact.
You can trust it. It's in the Bible. It's fact. It's completely true. Oh, I love it. I love it.
I mean, the Bible wasn't even written by Jesus.
Nope.
It was written like 100 years later.
Yep.
I'm not even a religious scholar by no means, as you can probably tell by saying that they're religious Bible thumpers. but I know that much.
And the book of Revelations, where they're talking, some of this stuff is in the book of Revelation. Some of this stuff is in the book of Daniel, which those were just written by human people like you and me. I mean, they may say they're from God, but people had to write them down.
They're assumptions.
Yeah. And the book of Revelation was written like 100 years after the rest of the Gospels were written by some dude on an island somewhere who was like a hermit and probably crazy.
All right.
Yeah. Well, anyway, that aside, the world's going to end and the rapture will start on Saturday. So be preparing yourselves, folks, to be taken up to heaven. And of course, if you're not believing this, then that assumes that you're going to hell. So be prepared on October 11th to die in flames and burn eternally.
But if anyone knows where I can get a really big, really, really, really big bag of marshmallows for roasting on October 11th, please let me know.
Yeah, I'd like some marshmallows and a big bag of Hershey bars and some graham crackers to make s'mores. But you know the problem with that is, though, the Hershey's and graham crackers are going to melt.
Yeah.
The chocolate's going to melt, so that won't work. The bag of marshmallows and a big bucket of hot dogs.
Yeah, yeah. That's we'll have we a weenie roast.
Absolutely.
The Tech-Access Weekly weenie roast, yeah.
Big sausages, the big bratwurst.
Yeah, there you go. But then if we have bratwurst, we have to have beer. We have to have a lot of beer in order to soak the bratwurst. In order to make it actual decent bratwurst.
Well, hell, that would make a fire.
In more ways than one. As you can tell, we're trying to make light of this.
Yes, because it is so stupid. Okay, anyway.
Stupid is as stupid does.
Absolutely. And on that note.
Hopefully we did not offend anyone by that. We're just saying that, yes, you can believe all of that, but it seems
don't be too disappointed on October 11th, 2011, when you're still here.
Yeah.
That's just what I'm saying.
I mean, it could actually happen, and we could be completely wrong about this, but probability says it's most likely not going to happen.
I'd rather err on the side of probability myself.
Yeah.
And if I'm wrong, oh well.
Plus, there was a movie 2012 that proved it.
That proved that this is wrong.
Yeah, so you're early.
Yeah, and I mean, I read a book that talks about the world ending in 2012, and a guy has prepared himself to meet the struggle. So we know that since he's preparing all this, and he's learning the rules of the Mayan divination games in order to prepare for this, that this Bible thing has to be wrong.
Yeah.
I couldn't finish the book. It was too much in-game theory for me. But anyway.
But if you have been listening to this religious blasphemy that we keep spreading.
And this entire podcast, you will know that this is Tech Access Weekly episode
94.
To get a hand up on all the stories that we discussed, you can go to delicious.com/techaccess/94. And if you would like to email us or tweet us or talk to us about any comments we make or have any comments of your own.
And tell us how ridiculous we are on the religious beliefs
stuff,
there.
feel free to do that using the information at the end of the show here.
Yes. And we will say that we have received a few emails regarding potential tips and things. So if you do have any suggestions for potential tips or things that you always use every day that you just don't think, you think that people would actually know about, that they may not.
We may not know. So let us know, and we'd be happy to include those when we get time and inclination. Some of the things that we have never used before, we have to, or I have to learn how to use. So it may take a while for some of your stuff to get posted, but please be patient and we will get to it as soon as we can.
Yes. Oh, and one that we'll probably mention next week also is people are requesting ideas on how to organize their digital life when using a mobile phone, how to manage contacts and calendars and things. And we basically use Google for most of that. But yeah. If anybody has any apps or suggestions, please let us know.
Absolutely. Definitely. Because there are some things that Google has that are not tremendously accessible. So if anyone has better accessible alternatives, please let us know.
Yeah.
Now, with that said,
you can check out the Melting Pot Show on Mushroom FM on Sundays from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern.
Yes.
Shameless plug yet again, as we keep saying, and we keep pointing out that it's a shameless plug.
You do it. I don't. I forgot. I mean, I keep forgetting to do it because it's kind of pointless to keep saying shameless plug.
Yeah, it's kind of like saying it's a segue.
Yeah.
You know, or there's an ad coming or something, you know, which we don't
We've
have
got
ads.
To stop this.
Yes, we do.
This has been Tech Access Weekly, episode 94.
Bye-bye.
Bye. To contact the team for Tech Access Weekly, send an email to techaccessweekly@gmail.com. You may follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/TA_weekly. You may comment on our voice line at 260-2-ASK-TAW, 260-227-5829. To find a list of the stories covered in each episode, please visit delicious.com/techaccess. Feel free to visit our website at techaccessweekly.com.